Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi and welcome. This is Genuinely Grace with the Alcohol Free Life podcast. I hope you've had a good week on Radio 2 this week. We mentioned a couple of things about alcohol-free drinks. That was good to talk about how the market has changed. It really has. I mean, it's great, isn't it, when it totally hits the mainstream that the alcohol-free market is burgeoning, the alcohol-free drinks market, and people choosing this wellness path. It's absolutely amazing. And we've had a lovely week within the Sober Club community. We've been introducing kind of new members and stuff, and we had a really nice Zoom session. It's just amazing, isn't it, how you can literally connect with sound ancient, don't I? All the wonders of the internet. But just being able to connect with people. We had a call with people from Los Angeles and Australia. That was very early in the morning for them. And France and Ireland and Spain. Amazing. So it's been a great week. And I just thought I'd share with you one little moment from our Zoom session. I won't name any names, of course, but I just thought it was so interesting that one woman was saying that she had been living away and has come back to the UK. And in the time that she's been away, as it were, she's ditched the booze. And I think she's something like 6 months sober, something like that. And so she came back to her home in the UK, having lived away for a couple of years, something like that, and went back to her home where her sort of clothes were stored and all the rest of it. And it was really interesting. She said suddenly even her clothes didn't feel like they were her anymore. It's not just that they didn't necessarily suit the current style or the fit, but literally she didn't feel like the same person. I thought, wow, isn't that an amazing thing to say about ditching the booze? We got all these phrases, these naff phrases, the gift that keeps on giving. I hate that, but I can't think of a better one, as you know. And the prize still stands, by the way, for if you do. But all these phrases, but then you hear these little gems and you think, that's exactly it. I'm just not even the same person that I was, in her case, 6 months ago. Really is amazing. So sounds like a great excuse for a shopping trip, right? And incredibly, talking dates and days, I don't really necessarily count days anymore. I don't sort of look at apps or anything. But I did happen to just check. And next week, I'm 1,000 days sober. How amazing is that? So I have to do something special on the podcast for that. To celebrate my 1,000 days. Amazing. It's also been a ridiculously busy week for me because we had our Platinum Awards. Lots of you know that I, with my other hat on, my imperfectlynatural.com hat on, I do lots of stuff around natural and organic and sustainable products and services. And this was a tough year because obviously a lot of businesses didn't even know if they were going to survive. So we had to really think long and hard whether to do the awards. But the reason we carried on was because I was, meanwhile, getting lots of calls from editors and journalists saying, well, will you give me a comment on, I don't know, whatever, immunity boosting products and great skincare and all of that. So I thought, let's just go ahead and let's just get as much out there as we can. So if that interests you, and for lots of people who've ditched the booze, it does. Suddenly we start to think, okay, let's look at what supplements we're using, let's look at what food we're eating and what we're putting on our skin, because it really is that holistic picture. So have a look, go to imperfectlynatural.com. You can see the full list of winners there, and I'm always happy to recommend natural products. I don't sell them. I'm not on commission for the products, but I'm always happy to recommend stuff, you know. So if you say to me, I like this kind of moisturizer, I'll find you a natural one. Sounds fair enough, right? But anyways, what I was getting to was, in addition to the skincare and the beauty and the health and well-being products, we had a category for alcohol-free drinks. And so it was just brilliant that some of those entrants won an award in our little Platinum Awards, which was great. So if I can remember off the top of my head, I haven't got the list in front of me, but Liars won. I think they won for their Italian Orange, but really, in truth, the judges just loved the whole range, absolutely loved them. So Liars were definitely a winner. Naughty for their fabulous alcohol-free vegan sparkling wine. Wildlife Botanicals, their gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous sparkling wine, which is kind of just so beautifully packaged. I can't even say their name without thinking of that lovely packaging. Also Sippling for their amazing range of alcohol-free cocktails. And Boucher Kombucha, they also won. And I think there's one. Oh, Ginesque, of course. How can I forget Ginesque? Old Coach House Distillery, yeah. So these went down fantastically well with our judges, a couple of whom hadn't tried any alcohol-free drinks before. So this is how it spirals, you see, just these little, this drip effect. So it was great to be able to give those guys an award. And I was saying to somebody in my little community the other day that, you know, if you are at the beginning of your journey and you're kind of having to prep ahead before you go out, because I would always recommend you do that. If you are going out somewhere to a social event, or if you're going to a friend's, then don't assume someone will have what you want to drink. Take your own. Absolutely go ready, armed to be able to pimp your tonic or go with your bottle of whatever it is, because, you know, you don't want to be at the bar and then find that they don't have anything that you want to drink. And that's when the wine witch comes in and says, oh, go on then, just have one glass of wine, won't hurt. Kind of will, actually. So go prepped and ready, or phone the venue, phone ahead and say, what have you got in terms of great alcohol-free drinks? And if the answer is nothing other than a Coke and an orange juice, point them in the direction of Laura Willoughby, the club soda guide is fantastic for bigging up venues and what, you know, what they're stocking. So we all kind of have to play our part there, really, within this industry, trying to encourage venues and bars to stock the drinks that we want. So that's been really exciting. That's been a great thing to do this week with the Platinum Awards. And in terms of guests, I thought that I had such a great response when I interviewed a Sober Club member a few weeks ago. So I thought, why not do it again? Let's have another fabulous, positive lockdown legacy, because I am, like you, I'm sure, still seeing an awful lot in the press about the harm that drinking has done so many people over lockdown, and I'm not undermining that by any means, but it would be, you know, just would be great for more people to hear the good news stories as well, and the positive stuff. So I thought it'd be lovely to bring you Lucy's story. So here we go. Enjoy. My guest is Lucy Chamberlain, founder of international recruitment firm C&C Search. Lucy, it's so lovely to chat to you, Sober Club member and someone I've known for a while. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Janie.
Oh, I love, these stories, because I think that, when we get stories from different people just sharing their experience, it really sort of helps us, everybody, kind of feel it might be possible for them, if you see what I mean. So just tell us a bit about your background. Maybe tell us a bit about the work that you do and a little bit about your drinking career, as the saying goes.
Yeah, and it's definitely been a career, I think. So in terms of what I do, I've always worked in what is essentially a sales environment. So in central London, and of course in the 90s and the noughties, it was a huge part of the office environment. And I was a partner in a big recruitment firm for about 13 years. And then I set up my own business 6.5 years ago alongside my brother. And I think that in probably my 20s, my drinking was generally social, quite good fun. I have a lot of fond memories of those times, and definitely not a problem, but very much part of our culture. You know, every celebration came with some form of alcohol, whether it was in the pub or in the office. And then into my 30s, I was divorced, and I was a single mum working 5 days a week with an 18-month-old. And I think that that's when things definitely started to shift for me. Mm. And I think my coping changed, and it wasn't about it being fun. There was definitely an element where I just wanted to switch off from my reality.
Yeah.
And so that went on and on throughout really my 30s. And I think then when I started up my own business, it really, I think when you run your own company, it's very clear to you where your vulnerabilities are, what you're great at, what you're not so good at. And at that point, my drinking definitely became very solitary and very much about switching off from all the pressure that came with running a business. I wasn't going out. I wasn't socializing at all, really. And so I've had periods throughout that time, the last 6 years, where I've known it's not healthy, and I've known it's not about anything associated with fun. It was literally just a coping mechanism. And so for me, when lockdown happened, I started to really notice a pattern forming again, which was, it was a coping mechanism. I'd had a period of not drinking the year before that was pretty long, actually. And it was making me feel miserable. I didn't feel good about myself. I didn't feel good about how I was showing up for my business. And it was really impacting on every single area of my life. And I was feeling really, really very low and suffering from terrible, terrible anxiety. And actually, that's when I was already a member of the Sober Club. And actually, that's when I reached out to you, Janie, for coaching, because I was feeling really quite desperate at that point.
Mm. So let's just back up just for a moment then. And what's interesting then is that you weren't doing the sort of after work drinking thing, you know, in the city or any of that, even though you obviously had an extremely full on work life. For you, it was very much the getting home or you know, it was the association with switching off where the drink came in.
100%. I'd done years of the partying piece in London. I felt I'd sort of been there, seen that, done it, got the t-shirt. But eventually for me, my drinking shifted into something that was very, very much nothing. I wouldn't think about it. I mean, I would classify myself very much as a grey area drinker. And it was very much associated with me being able to go, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting, isn't it? It's so interesting. Mm. It's different for everyone. You know, for some people, it really is that sort of social thing that's the most important piece of it all. So, you know, when you first started to realize, okay, this isn't right, there's something not right. Mm. And I'm guessing that feeling went on for a long time, if you're anything like me. What did you feel your options were at that point? You know, did it feel possible for you? Did you look into anything that,
yeah,
might work?
Oh my goodness, yeah. I think for me, when I first started realizing that I had an unhealthy relationship with alcohol, and it was very difficult for me to tell, if I'm really honest, because every single member of my social circle, all of my colleagues drank like I did. So but I knew. I had a moment with a girlfriend, actually. We were away on a weekend, and she just said to me, and she'd been clean and sober for about 11 years, and she just said, "Lucy, you are so uncomfortable in your own skin. I'm really worried about you." And it was the first moment I thought, oh, and she was right. And so it really touched a nerve, because I knew that I'd always been I'd always had that piece, part of me that drank to fit in and was the life and soul of the party, whereas really, actually, that's not who I am without the drink. Mm-hmm. So I looked at different things. I went to a few AA meetings, and actually I did that for a little while, but I just, for me, being told that I was sick and that I had character defects, and I found the meetings, I used to feel very depressed afterwards, and I knew I just didn't quite identify with, I found lots of similarities in the rooms, of course I did, but I didn't identify with living my life in alignment with AA's principles, and I certainly didn't identify with being sick. Mm. And I knew that for me, if I was going to let go of drinking, I knew it would be an empowering thing. So I started reading quite a lot of Quitlet, but still came in and out of drinking. And then it was only I mean, I think the movement on Instagram has been, and I stumbled across people like Laurie McAllister and Africa Brooke and people that I could identify with. And I was like, oh, okay. These are people that I think speaking my language. And then I came across the Sober Club. And I suddenly started realizing I really identified with your message, which was very much about gaining rather than losing, and it being about liberation rather than sickness, and it being about being able to live your fullest, most glorious life rather than sitting in lots of dusty church halls and being miserable, which is what I found in my experience. I know it works for loads of people, and that's amazing. And it, you know, it's all horses for courses, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I genuinely don't care how anyone gets to the to the place they get to, but yeah, it has to work for you. Now, I know you came along to my self-care and sobriety retreat at Champneys. So tell us a little bit about that experience, and then, you know, what's interesting is that wasn't it for you. You know, so you did immersive things like that, but that wasn't it for you. And I think that this kind of up down piece is actually really important for people to hear. Because, you know, I have a lot of people in Sober Club who say, oh, actually I've left because I relapsed, in inverted commas. I hate that word. You know, I relapsed, so, you know, it's not for me anymore. But actually what I'm trying to do is not about judgment at all. Let's just have these discussions. But I'm interested for you then, what the, you know, how it went. You came along to our retreat. I'd love to know how you found that. And then what were your sort of periods of sobriety, in inverted commas? And then what happened when things maybe tipped up again?
Yeah, so the weekend, the Champneys retreat for me, I was really nervous about going. It's I'm not somebody that often goes to things like retreats. It's somewhere I can feel quite awkward. But I would say to anybody that's thinking about doing something like that with you, that I think you create a very, very safe, comfortable space where we were a room of I don't remember how. We were 14, 16 women, all totally different. But actually, I found it way more comfortable to be myself in that room than perhaps I had done in some of the social environments I'd been in. So it was very safe. It was very secure. And I suddenly, as you spent some time talking us through different techniques, and we looked at how we identify, how we identify as individuals in our story, and I realized that actually you were able to show me that there was this there was another way of living that was going to be much more full of joy and high spots, as you call them, than the life I had in that moment. And I also made connections there, and I've got one particular person there that I'm really, really close to now, so that was just amazing. So I had that gift of friendship that came from it. And I'd had long periods of I have been one of those people that thought I'll probably never truly get sober. So I had for about 2.5 years gone on a roundabout. So I would have periods of sobriety. My longest period was several months. And then it was almost like I felt like it was a rebellious act. It's like, oh, you know, sod this. I've got too much going on in my life, too many pressures. I want to have some fun. And of course, it wasn't fun, and it was never fun. And actually, most of the time, it just left me feeling like crap, basically. And so I'd been on this roundabout, up, down, as you say, for so long. I was so exhausted. And there is something they say in AA, which is that sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I was definitely in that place when I came to Champneys. I just thought, I cannot keep having this ongoing internal dialogue about, you know, right, I'm not going to drink today, and I'm going to have 3 days off, and then I'm going to have 2 weeks off, and oh, but it's this thing coming up, so I'll just drink then. And it's so tiring. And I just wanted to let that go. And but I then had my traditional thing, which is a few weeks sober after that event. And then a couple of things at work were getting quite intense, and some family stuff, and I had one of those sod it moments. And and then lockdown happened, and that's when I was drinking too much at home. I mean, nothing terrible happened, nothing bad happened. It was the way I was feeling. So it wasn't, there was no big rock bottom, there was no big, it was just, it, I just, my anxiety was really bad. And I just waking up with that slight fog and a misery. And there was a night I fell asleep on the couch. And I just, when I woke up the next morning or 4 or 5 in the morning, I just thought, no, I've done this. I've had enough. And that's when I reached out to you. And it stuck. I'm now actually 5 months sober today.
Amazing. Yay. So it's another, you know, fabulous lockdown legacy. You know, as I said on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, we're constantly reading in the news about people who have drunk too much and have really suffered over lockdown. I get that completely. But it is also lovely to hear about some people who have rocked it sober. So, you know, well done you, because it's been incredibly hard. Now, I know, because obviously we had, you know, some conversations when I was doing a bit of coaching with you that, you know, one of the interesting things, I think, and I don't know how much or little you want to share, and it's entirely up to you, but it was interesting that after, I think, almost like the first conversation that we had, I think we looked at your nutrition. That's always part of the piece, isn't it? And your sort of you know, your lifestyle, and we looked at what were the difficult areas for you and you know, the triggers and all of that stuff. But I think you fairly quickly recognize this thing that I talk about so often, which is that actually, as soon as you've kind of made the decision to do this, you start to realize that it's about so much more than just, in inverted commas, not drinking. So tell us, I mean, you don't have to go into details, but tell us maybe some of the thought processes that were going on for you in those early weeks, because I suppose in a way what I'm trying to say is it's almost like, I'm not painting the most beautiful picture here, because I mean, it's just a fact. But what happens is people think, oh, I just need to stop drinking. And actually what happens is we uncover, you know, many more layers that are going to need to be addressed, don't we?
Oh, my. Yeah. Gosh. I have to say a couple of things. One is that if you're in the early first few weeks or first few days and you are feeling absolutely rotten, it gets better. Oh my goodness. I think with the first few coaching sessions that we had, it got better, but my goodness, at the beginning I'd been abducted by aliens and someone else had replaced me. I was all over the place and my emotions were all over the place. And but it does get better. And I think we ended, and I had that feeling that, you know, I've got a psychotherapist mother and I've done loads of personal development and I really thought I knew my own stuff. And what I realized is that actually until you take out the alcohol, you can't do any of the work truly. And I think the difference for me this time was, A, I think you're an amazing coach, but also I think I didn't feel like I was giving something up. I knew I was letting it go in order to gain. And before, I always felt like I had to give up. And it felt almost like a punishment before, almost something like I had to do and not something I wanted to do. And I think that this time, I think that freeing feeling of being like, okay, whatever this feels like, I'm just going to stick with it because I know that something else is better is coming. And I think as a result, there were parts where we ended up talking about so much stuff, you know, stories about, you know, around my stories about money, stories about, you know, stuff that was going on in my extended family at that moment. We looked at my self-esteem. We looked at so many areas, and the fact that I give myself so little time just to sit with myself, or as you kept saying to me, be in my body, because I was like doing all the time. And that's been something that, and I know over the 3 months that we worked together, that was something we kept coming back to. And it's something I'm much more conscious of now. And I think that yeah, it's the booze was nothing really to do with anything. It was all my, it's all that stuff that we suppress and that goes on, and that we just think if I just buy myself something or just have that extra drink, it goes away.
It's so true. You explained it really well. It's everything and it's nothing. It underpins everything. And you're absolutely right. All of us, I mean, and everyone knows my story, you know, I've been sort of queen of natural health and well-being for years. Yeah. I've tried every therapy going, you know, I've kind of allegedly dealt, in inverted commas, with everything over the years. But actually the reality is I hadn't actually dealt with anything because there was this massive elephant in the room, you know, as you say. So it's fascinating, and we've had, you know, a lot of these conversations. So when it did start to click for you then, let's just step back to one other thing. What was the hardest thing, before we get onto the good stuff, what was the hardest thing for you? What did you find most tough in those early days and weeks?
Yeah, I think the honest answer is just sitting with my feelings.
Yeah.
And almost those moments where stuff was coming up and I was like, oh crap, I'm gonna have to feel that feeling and sit with it. And that's what I found most difficult. But also, and I don't know why it wasn't the same when I'd had periods of abstinence before. I think it was maybe I knew I was all in this time. And so that for me was the hardest thing, and feeling really peed off when my husband was, I mean, he was really, really good. He took out, you know, everything out of the house. There was nothing, he didn't bring anything back apart from a beer. Yeah. But there were a couple of moments where we went to social things together, or when we were able to go back to restaurants during lockdown, when we went for dinner, and he said, is it okay if I have a gin and tonic? And I was like, yes, no. but now I can just say, it doesn't bother me. But I think those moments where I felt resentful that I was choosing not to have a drink, even though it was my choice, I think those are tough in the beginning. But it's simply we're hardwired to associate things with things. And now I don't even think about it.
Yeah,
it doesn't even register when someone's having a drink, apart from if they're drunk, and then I've got no desire to be around them at all. But that's it, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's been so wonderful to watch your transformation, and you've done some lovely posts, you know, on the Sober Club community where you've just explained how you feel differently. So is it 5 months now? So you're a
5 months. Five so I'm months, still a baby, really.
Yeah. It's amazing to have cracked that in lockdown. Really amazing. And I know that one thing you were a little bit nervous about was what would happen when, you know, real life, well, okay, I was to say, comes back, if it ever does.
Whatever that is.
Yeah, whatever that is. But, you know, but obviously you have, you know, that some things have sort of started again. And you were a little bit nervous of that because in a sense, over lockdown, you were in a little bit of a bubble, really.
Totally. And I think I really felt quite protected in my home environment. You know, my David was really supportive. That's my husband, and I felt really safe. And I think that I wasn't walking past a lovely bar that I might have had a drink in before, or just those triggery places that that I would associate maybe with having a glass of rosé in the summer. And actually, I was really nervous about it. And I had a couple of brief moments of, oh gosh, that glass of rosé looks really cold and nice. And then I just thought, it's just the glass it's in.
Yeah.
And actually, I think because by the time lockdown eased, I noticed I've been able to launch another business. I've lost some weight. I've started exercising. I'm eating so much better. And my skin it looks like a different person's skin, all this stuff. And I think so by the time that happened, I was already really starting to reap the rewards that is ditching the booze. And I think that as a result, that transition hasn't been anywhere near as scary as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, definitely. I know you said, you know, it was, I think it was you that coined that phrase initially, where you said, you know, I feel like I've been given a second chance at life. Yeah. I love that. I just
I
love
really
that.
Do.
That's how it's I felt so too. It's amazing. So what did you learn about yourself over this process? Because I think, you know, you really had some really quite, you know, momentous sort of revelations.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I think I realize I'm more vulnerable and stronger than I realized, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah, you can be both.
Yeah, and I think I realized I'm way more vulnerable in some areas, and I've got some work to do on myself in order to get to the point where I know that you and I talked about genuine, I mean, I do hate the word self-love, but genuinely absolute self-acceptance.
Yeah.
I think that I am still working towards that. And I think that that is something that was a big revelation for me, was just how much the drink was masking that. I have learned I am still that same creative, fun, slightly geeky kid that I was just in adult form. And I think I've had real moments of embracing those parts of me and learning and starting to learn again who I really, really am, without either the sense of having to be sober or drinking. Because actually in those periods when I was sober, I still felt these things. So I think without that, so I've had that. I have had some really big I am so much more great. I know, again, gratefuls and gratitudes are words like, oh no, not that word again. But I am so much more deeply grateful for my life. Yeah. That is the thing I feel. And I don't miss any moments of it now. Even the crappy moments, at least I'm present for them. Yeah. And I know what's going on. And I've stopped some friendships that weren't helping me. And you and I talked about, you know, certain relationships that I had in my life that were just not good for me. Mm. And that I needed to let them go, you know, in a loving way, but let them go. And that has been a big revelation, because it's freed up space in my head. Head space I didn't really even know I was giving away freely, but I definitely was.
Yeah and what about you as a parent, you know, because I know you have kids, and again it the difference is amazing, isn't it?
Oh, do you know what, we had last night actually we had dinner to celebrate my 5 month soberversary.
It felt like quite
a big deal, and Chloe was like, oh mum, I love you anyway, but I just love it now you're not drinking.
Oh,
and I think
really
we are doing,
wow, how amazing. That's so
I know lovely. And of course, being me, I immediately had that awful guilt moment of, oh my god, what about when I was drinking? But actually then I let that go, and I was like, oh, what more could I have ever wished for than that? And I am so much more of a parent to Chloe without the drinking involved. Because even in a restaurant, if you've just had a glass of wine, you're not as focused, you're not there. You might be thinking about the next glass of wine rather than, you know, something you could be chatting about to your daughter. Or, I mean, daft things like we've taken up playing loads of Scrabble and Monopoly together. And like, I don't know, just stuff I just wouldn't have made or found the time for, because I always felt I didn't have enough time. Well, actually, turns out I actually do. And I love that. None of my time's being wasted on that rubbish anymore.
Yeah. So it really is true, isn't it? This thing that ditching the booze literally impacts on every area of your life.
Yes.
I mean, everyone realizes that it's going to impact on their health, or at least I hope people do. But it impacts massively on your relationships, you know, all of them. And obviously on the amount of time you have, on your work, because I know you were, you know, something of a workaholic
and
you know, but literally everything, every part of your life is impacted by this one seemingly innocuous decision. Okay, yeah. I'll stop doing something. it still amazes me actually that it's a small thing and yet it's the biggest thing ever.
Actually, one of my friends, Anna, texted me this morning and said, oh, you know, what's it like not drinking? I bet it feels really good. And what in your life is better?
Oh, wow. Tell me the list then. Come on.
Well, I just said everything.
Yeah.
Everything. You know, what is better? I'm more present. I'm so much calmer. My head is clearer. My skin is better. My eyes are brighter. I've got a ton more energy. I do so many more enriching things in my life. My self-care is better. I mean, we spoke about that a lot, and how I look after myself, what I feed myself, how I show up as a parent, how I show up at work. My joy is better. You know, that's something that I didn't realize, is that actually the joy gets dampened down as well as the misery and the stress.
Alcohol steals your joy, very definitely.
And that was something else. Like, now when I feel really happy, I'm like, oh my God, this almost feels like I'm high. You know, it's like that.
Yeah.
It's totally, there is nothing in my life that I would, there's no part of my life I would gain anything from drinking again. Nothing.
And I know there'll be people listening, you know, who are not at your stage yet, and they'll be thinking to themselves, oh, you know, well, it's all right for her, you know, that kind of feeling. She had it easy. I mean, what would you say to those people for whom at this point it just does not feel possible?
Yeah.
You know, because they've done it, they've been up, they've been down, they've started it, they've got to perhaps, you know, even perhaps where you're at. So I'm not actually sure what the question is, but maybe the question
is what
is different, and what top tip would you give them?
Yes. Okay. So I completely and utterly understand that feeling. For 3 years, I was following people on Instagram in sober groups. And I was like, will that ever be me? Mm. Will it ever be me? And ultimately deep down, the voice said, no, it won't. I think for me, the biggest shift for me was having the coaching with you. And I needed that because I am uber stubborn, and I really, really struggle with making those shifts without real support.
Yeah.
So if you are able to reach out to somebody that you really trust, because we all know there's some great coaches out there, there's some not so great coaches out there, but somebody really well qualified who's trodden the path before, who understands what it's like, I mean, and which you definitely do. And so for me, the big shift was having the coaching. I needed the accountability.
I was going to say, it's about being held accountable, isn't
100%.
It? Because, you know, you would have known, you know, that if you'd decided just, oh, blow it, you know, who gives a toss, the very next day you'd be sort of on the...
I would have had to own up to you.
Yeah, on the sober club saying, ouch, you know, and then you'd have me on the phone. So you're right. Having that accountability, that was something I didn't ever have in the beginning. And it's very tough without it, isn't it?
I've done it so many times on my own, and it never works, and it's miserable as well. It's so, that lack of connection is I mean, I know they say the opposite of addiction is connection, but it's so true. They say it, or whoever they are, but people say it all the time because it's true. So if you financially haven't got, I mean, I was really, really lucky to have had the ability to pay for the coaching, because obviously at times in my life I couldn't have done that. But if it isn't coaching, then pour yourself into the sober club and you know, connect every day, post every day. If you're having a moment, post it, ask for advice, and allow yourself to be held accountable by people that are rooting for you and want that, the richness that comes into your life from not drinking. Mm. And for me, I've been very open with people in my life that I have been committed. I wasn't so, I mean, I didn't shout it from the rooftops at the beginning, because it felt like a private journey. One I was pretty much on with a few people and you, but I think now I shared with all my friendship groups yesterday. Oh, I'm 5 months clean and sober today.
Oh, well done. And, amazing.
And I did it because I know that I still need that accountability. On some level, I need to say, this is who I am now. Because the more I say it, the more I'll believe it and be it, you know, in the long term, I think.
Yeah. Well, that was going to be my next question. I mean, I hate the word cravings as well, but do you ever sort of think, oh, that would be nice? Or do you ever kind of get that feeling that if things got tough in your life, that you would, you know, sort of have that automatic reach for a drink. Because that's the thing that everyone, I think, has to be aware of. It's the long, you know, the associations that have been there that are so deep rooted from so many years back.
Yeah.
Where do you feel you're at with that?
Yeah, that's an interesting one, because in the past, that's always been my undoing.
Yeah.
Is either a moment of real celebration or those, when the shit's hitting the fan or things are, I'm under a lot of pressure. But actually, I am under a lot of pressure at the moment. You know, I'm an employer of a fair amount of people. You know, I've got two businesses on the go. I'm a mum. You know, I've got some other stuff going on in my life at the moment, and I have felt really under it. But having a drink would make everything worse.
Yeah.
And so actually, for me, this time, whatever the mindset shift is, I can't think of anything worse.
Mm. Right.
I can't think of anything I less like to do.
Yeah. So you've really noticed that with sobriety comes a different kind of resilience that enables you, because, you know, again, and
it's like a deep resilience.
It is because we can't paint the picture that everything's fabulous. I mean, I know, you know, for a while with your business, it's very, very difficult in lockdown as it is for so many
hugely.
People, you know, so everything isn't going to be easy necessarily when you ditch the booze, but it's a totally different level of resilience that comes into play, isn't it?
And the clarity of thought and the being able to do the next right thing and keep showing up despite what's going on. You know, what would happen if I was drinking? Well, I'd have a hangover. I'd feel really under par. I'd probably be a bit short with some of the team. I wouldn't be motivational. And also, I wouldn't be able to stand, because actually on that, you really helped me a couple of times with difficult decisions, was really being able to connect with who I am as a person. Mm. And so to take the difficult decisions when they needed to be taken, with full knowledge I was still doing the right thing and I was a human with integrity. Mm. And I think that all of that would have been lost.
Yeah, isn't it true? When you ditch the booze, you become authentic.
Mm.
You know, I mean, the amount of flipping, I don't know, social media, beautiful, glossy pictures going on about authenticity. But certainly for me, I might have spoken about it, but it certainly wasn't true until I took the booze out of my life.
And actually, authenticity is quite vulnerable and quite, like, it can be a bit messy as well.
Yes, it's not totally.
Like, it doesn't mean you're sort of wafting around on a cloud, sort of making these beautiful decisions and everything. It's about standing in absolute alignment with yourself. And that can make things, that can be challenging for other people, or it might be, you know, it doesn't, yeah. Authenticity for me just means that absolute ability to be in alignment with yourself. And I'm getting there, and that feels amazing.
Mm, brilliant. Well, it's so lovely to hear your story. Huge congratulations on your lockdown legacy. You know, you really are one of these people, aren't you? You know, in 10 years time, 20 years time, whatever, someone's going to say, oh, well, what did you do during your tenure?
It's always going to be my biggest gift.
Absolutely. Yeah, amazing. Lucy, thank you so much for sharing your story. I really, really appreciate it. And thank you for that lovely phrase, you know, having a second chance at life. It's just absolutely sums it up, doesn't it?
Totally, totally. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Lucy. You're a fabulous example of a sober lockdown legacy. We love it. Don't forget that if you're interested in the Sober Club, we're kind of closed for new members at the moment, but we'll be opening up again at some point. So just go over to thesoberclub.com, get yourself on our waiting list. We've got a little PDF, self-care and sobriety. And there's lots of blog posts, lots of stuff on there that you can take a look at. And obviously, if you've got any ideas for who you'd like me to interview on the podcast, let me know. I had a couple of emails this week with some great suggestions, actually. So I'm going to try. You know, you never know. Some people are impossible to get hold of, literally impossible. And then every now and then someone says, yeah, okay, we like that. So please feel free to let me know if you've got any suggestions. Make sure you follow me on social media at Janie Lee Grace, pretty much everywhere. At Janie Lee Grace Loves, I think it is, for the Facebook page. And I will look forward to seeing you same time next week, when I will be 1,000 days sober. I'm proud of myself, right? Give yourself a big hug if you're doing this hard thing. See you soon. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.